What up, what up, what up? What up, what up, what up? What's up, party people? This is peace. That's all that means. I gotta make sure my hands are right. Peace, everybody. How's everybody? How's everybody? That's a lot better. Welcome to church. So glad you're here today. Can we welcome everybody watching online and joining us online? So glad you can be with us. I'm really excited to be here. I love the heat. For me, the hotter the better. Come on, somebody. Never let it end. It's 90 every day. That's what I'm. No rain. Sun. I love it. How about you guys? Bring it. It's hot out there, but let me tell you, there's going to be some fire right here in a moment. If you open your heart to what God has for you, because God has given me a word for you today. This whole series is a series for you, not from me, but from God to you. How many know that today? That when we gather to hear the preaching of the word, that's why it's so important to hear the preaching of the word, that God wants to speak to you, and he's speaking to you, and he's saying, talk to me. Talk to me, somebody. That's what he's saying. Talk to me. So this series is all about prayer. Prayer is simply talking to Jesus. And if you haven't been praying, it's okay. God wants you to start talking to him. And if you have been talking to him, God wants you to talk to him some more. He wants you to grow in your relationship with God. Because a relationship without communication is just two people. And this journey that we're on is not about religion. We're not here for a religious experience. We're here to grow in our relationship with God. How many with me on that, right? Relationship. This is not religion. This is relationship. Religious people can go to hell too. Oh, y'all not ready for today. Y'all not ready for today. Y'all not ready for today. Some of you are like, what? Religious? I thought religious people went to heaven. No, there's a lot of religious people that are going to hell because they don't have relationship. This is about a relationship in which you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's all we sang this morning. All the songs were about putting our faith in Christ, trusting in Christ. It was about dependency upon Christ. And that's what prayer is all about. So God impressed upon my heart a few weeks ago that this is going to be the summer of prayer. And we're gathering every Wednesday night and we're gathering every Thursday morning for prayer. And if you can make it, if I know a lot of you work and have crazy schedules, but join us for prayer. Not only for prayer in church, create a place and space, or find a place and create a space and time in which you can talk to Jesus, in which you can grow in your relationship with Jesus, because you cannot have a relationship with God through your parents, through your grandparents, or through your pastors. God don't have no grandchildren. Come on, somebody. God has children. He has children in which he wants them to talk to him. Isn't that so true? Talking to him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to have a relationship. And you know what? He also wants to talk to you. We'll get there. We'll talk about that. So in week one, we talked about the message. If you've missed the messages, the sermons, go to our website, download the app, watch them, listen to the podcast. The first week was called, Lord, Teach Me to Pray. That is the heart of this series. Lord, teach me to pray, correct? Lord, help me learn how to pray, because my understanding of prayer is very limited. Jesus chose disciples that did not know how to pray, but they had a desire to pray. That's where prayer begins. Some of you are wondering, how do I cultivate a prayer life? It begins with desire. Like, I'm so busy, I just don't have time to pray. Yes, you do. Stop that too busy nonsense. Some of y'all lying. Too busy. Not too busy. You're not too busy to watch your favorite show. You're not too busy to scroll on Facebook and Instagram. Go right now. Open your phone up. Let me know how much screen time you have on that phone. Stop lying. Come on. Come on now. Come on, somebody. Create place and space. Cultivate that relationship with Jesus. That's what he wants. So we said, Lord, teach me to pray. Last week, we talked about the audacity of prayer. How dare you go to God with your shameless, audacious request? How dare you? God loves those how dare you prayers. Are you praying? And I was, as I was preaching, if you noticed, I didn't give a lot of illustrations because I'm like convicted. I'm like, God, I'm asking for too little. Lord, help me to believe you for more. Create in me a shameless audacity in which I can come into your presence and say, God, this is my request. Shameless audacity. This week, the title of today's message is called Pray Until Something Happens, or Push. Today's message is pray until something happens. How many have a patience problem? We all got a patience problem because we're all in a hurry. We're all in a rush. All of technology that I'm realizing and watching on television is to make life easier and make things go faster. For example, now, not only do we have fast food, we've had that for many years, and drive-through, but now we don't even have to give them a credit card. We just wave it to them because giving them the credit card, it just takes too much time. You go to a store, it's too much time. Now you say, you actually want my car? Can I just wave it? We're in a rush. We're always in a hurry. We're always trying to get home in a hurry. We're always trying to get through the drive-thru in a hurry. We're always at the supermarket trying to figure out what's the best time to go so I can get out of there in a hurry. We're always looking for the shortest line. We're always looking for the restaurant that's not crowded. And when we finally get to the place and there is a line or there's a wait, we all get bent out of shape because we want our stuff now. We want our food now. I mean, I want to talk about, if you have to waste more than 10 minutes or 15 minutes in a restaurant, you know something's up. How many will ever go back? I ain't never going back in this restaurant. They're actually taking time to cook my food. No, I want it now. I want it 15 minutes because I'm hungry. How many with me on that, right? It's ingrained in our psyche. It's in our brains. It's in our minds. Hurry. So we're always in a hurry. We're always in a rush. We're always trying to get ahead. We're always trying to get things done in a hurry. And we're racing, racing, racing through life. And oftentimes we take hurry into our relationship with God. And we want God to do things in a hurry. We want God to show up in a hurry. And we oftentimes bring hurry into our prayer life. And when we ask, we expect to receive now. God, this is my prayer. How come there's nothing happening? It's been 3 days. I read recently, this is a great book. We're going to be doing a sermon series on that. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Write that down. John Mark Comer. Incredible book. We're going to be doing that as a church. And in this book, he's talking about the practice of slow. Like a slow is a spiritual practice. And some of the things he teaches is this. He says, do the speed limit. Some of you have a hard time with that. Choose the slow lane. Relax. Just drive slow in the slow lane. Or he says, you know, when you go to the checkout line, pick the longest line. He's just saying, like, slow down, like, just slow down. What's the rush? He also said, when you go to a doctor's office, go early. Leave your phone in your pocket and just sit. Think. Be present. And when I read that, I threw the book out because it's impossible. Like, how can you do that? That's impossible. The whole point of driving home is to see how fast you can get there, right? Oh, my God, I made it in 18 minutes. Or from the city, when you make it in an hour and 5 minutes from the Bronx, come on, somebody. You're doing a little praise party at your house. You're like, I made it. I beat the traffic. How many are with me on that? And you know that's true. But what if we flipped the switch in our brain and we said, you know, we're just going to slow down our souls and our minds and not just be in a hurry, but we're not going to take hurry in our relationship with God because, newsflash, God is not in a hurry. He's slow. I hate that. He's a slow God. And he works at the speed of slow. I can't stand that. So this is the thing with God. He's not operating at our timetable. He operates at his timetable. And this, so as we pray and we're believing God and we're praying until something happens, here's the question. What do you do when you pray and nothing happens? What do you do when you start praying and nothing happens? For some of you, you're starting to pray. You're starting to pray about your marriage. You're starting to pray about your children. And if you're anything like me, when you first started praying, the more you pray for your marriage, the more problems you had. How many are with me on that? Like all hell breaks loose in your house. You're like, I'm going to pray for my marriage. The next day you're fighting. Right? Things are bad. You're praying for your kids. They're getting out of control. Right? Because prayer is talking to Jesus, but prayer is also spiritual warfare. Prayer is also moving the hand of God. The devil will do everything to keep you busy because he wants to keep you from praying. Come on, church. Are you with me? I need some love. He will do everything he can to keep you busy so that he can keep you from praying, because there's power in a bended knee. There's power in prayer. There's power when you talk to Jesus. We're going to talk about that in a moment. So what do you do when nothing happens? You push. You pray until something happens. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. You don't get discouraged. You continue to pray. And this is what I'm learning. God operates at the speed of slow. God is this. God is more interested in doing something in you than for you. Because prayer is not so much about changing our externals. Prayer is more about changing our internals. Prayer is more about God changing us than God changing our circumstances. And we don't realize or recognize it, but God's delay deepens our faith. This is what prayer is about. God is doing something in us through prayer than for us. And that's what happens sometimes when there's a delay in prayer, when we pray and nothing happens. God wants you to push. He wants you to believe. He wants you to trust. He wants you to push through. He wants you to continue to pray. Let me ask you this question. What are you asking God for? What are you praying about? Let me ask you this way. Maybe some of you aren't cultivating a prayer life. Let me ask you this question. What are you worried about? Because your worries should transfer into prayers. What are you doubting about? What are you like stressed out about? That should be what you're praying about. Come on, somebody, write it down right now. Write down what you're worried about. Write down what you're stressed out about. Because some of you are struggling with prayer. You don't know how to pray. You don't know where to pray. You don't know where to begin. And it begins with our deepest need. It begins with our deepest struggle. It begins with what's going on and what's relevant in our life. And some of you are stressed out financially. You're stressed out spiritually. You're stressed out with your family. You're stressed out with work. You're stressed out with finances. You're stressed out with all things. Those things are to be items of prayer. And you talk to Jesus about them. And say, Jesus, this is what I need. This is what I'm going through. So Jesus teaches us about prayer. We've been in Luke, and we're going to continue in Luke. Past couple weeks, we're in Luke 11. Now we're in Luke 18. And Jesus, again, tells a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. It's not a real story. It's a story Jesus used to teach Scripture. By the way, Jesus loved stories. He was a storyteller. Think about that. Jesus was a storyteller. Jesus didn't speak with religious jargon like the religious leaders did. He wanted to speak to you in a way that you understood. Aren't you grateful that Jesus was normal, ordinary, in the sense of human being ordinary? And Jesus here speaks of a story. Says Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should what, church? Always pray and not give up. But they should always pray and not give up. So he says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. My only guess is that this was a grandma. Because how many know there's power in grandma prayers? Like, especially grandma widows. I don't play with grandma widows. If you're a widow and a grandma, don't play. Because they know how to pray. I remember my grandma, even to this day, up at 4:35 a.m., kneeling at her bedside, just claiming the promises of God. And here's this grandma widow who kept coming to this judge and said, God, grant me adversary, or grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time, the judge refused. Pause. Here's a story Jesus is telling about a widow who kept coming to an unjust judge. He's connecting it to our prayer life. He's saying that there are times that we are going to go to the Father for prayer. And there's these spiritual truths in this passage to help us understand this first part of the message about prayer. And this story implies three things. Number one, it implies that we should always pray. Remember how Jesus said, this is a story to teach you to always pray and not give up. So first and foremost, you should always pray. When things are going tough in your life, what do? When things are difficult with your children, what do? When things are tough at work, when things are tough in the world, when things are tough with government, when things are tough in life, pray. Come on, say it with me. Pray. But don't just pray. Always pray. In other words, develop a daily communication in which you talk to Jesus. You talk to him. You tell him what's going on in your life. You always pray. Jesus said we should always pray. This story also implies, if we go back a couple of verses, he says, and there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice for my adversary, but for some time he refused. What does this imply? Not only should we always pray, but some prayers go unanswered. Sometimes prayers go unanswered. Sometimes you're not going to get a response immediately. Sometimes God is not going to answer quickly. And how many know that's okay? It's okay if you pray and don't get an immediate response, because that's the way it is sometimes. We're not God. God just asks us to pray and not give up. He says, I tell you this parable, so you should pray and not give up. But when you pray, sometimes God will answer and sometimes God won't. We don't know what's going on in God's mind. We're not God. But the question is, what do you do when God doesn't answer your prayers? Do you give up? And this is the third thing we learn from this parable, is that when prayers go unanswered, we will be tempted to give up. That's why Jesus said, this parable is for you to understand that to teach you to always pray and not give up. Never give up, because some of you have. There were times I have. Can we be honest? That's where some of you are at right now. You've given up on God. You've given up on prayer. Or maybe you haven't given up on God, but you've given up on prayer. And God is saying to you, don't give up. Push. Push through, because I'm more interested in doing something in you than for you. Y'all with me still? Come on, first service, second service, third service, fourth service, whatever service this is. Y'all with me? Come on, church. Push. Don't get discouraged, but push. Don't give up, but push. Don't be disappointed, but push. Pray until something happens. So there's Grandma Widow. She's going to this unjust judge, and she's like, grant me justice from my adversary. And for some time, this judge said, you know what? Just leave me alone. I'm not going to give you what you want. But finally, he came to his senses and said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me. I love the New Living Translation. Because this widow is driving me crazy. New Living Translation. All right, let's go back. The spiritual translation. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see to it that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Don't mess with these widow grandmas. You see, God wants to put that drive and passion in you. This drive, this faith, this belief that God, I know you can answer me. God, I know you hear me. And I'm not going to stop coming to you until I see something happen. What do you do when you pray and nothing happens? You push through until you experience breakthrough. So here, this woman, this woman's driving me crazy. Then he continues, Jesus saying, the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Now he shifts gears. He's talking about us. We are his chosen ones. And he says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who do what, church? Cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? Will he keep putting you off? Will he keep putting us off if we do what? What's the condition? Cry out to God day and night. I wonder if anybody in this house or anybody joining us online knows how to cry out to God. When I grew up during a time, a period of time in a church time when people knew how to cry out to God. People knew how to get a hold of God. People knew how to pray. God wants to once again raise up people who know how to cry out to God and not be ashamed of it and not be afraid of it. But that cry is not a mental cry. It's a cry that comes right down from your soul. It's a cry that comes down from your gut and says, God, grant me mercy. God, grant me justice. God, do what only you know how to do. God, I refuse to give up. God, I refuse to give in. I'm going to pray until something happens. That's the kind of prayer that moves God. It's a cry. You ever prayed? But not prayed with words, prayed with a cry. Perhaps that is what's keeping you from moving into your divine destiny. Perhaps that's what's keeping God from performing a miracle in your life. Perhaps that is what's missing, is the cry of your heart. When my boys were little, my wife was an amazing mama. She was like a mama's bear. I call it mama bear. The boys could be on the other side of the house, three levels down, playing. But the moment they cried, wah! Mama bear was like, ooh. Am I right? You even do it to this day. They're 21 and 16. I heard the cry of my child. You might feel distant from God, but the moment you cry out to God, God is like, I hear my son. I hear my daughter. What is on his heart? What does he need? And this is what Jesus says. He says this, I tell you, he will see to it that they get justice and quickly. However, I should have highlighted that, made it in all caps. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Whoever's using this mic, don't use it. I'm just... Jesus. Jesus. What is this parable teaching us? Number one, it's teaching us persistent prayer moves God. Are you kidding me? Persistent prayer moves God. I wish you're getting this in your soul. I hope you're getting this into your spirit. Persistent prayer moves God, but persistent prayer requires persistent faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For anybody that comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Persistent faith. Believing. That although you don't see it yet in the natural, you see it in the supernatural. You see it in the spiritual. And you're persistent in your prayers because you're persisting in faith. Believing that God will do what he said he's going to do. That you're not going to quit. You're not going to give in. You're not going to throw in the towel. You're going to continue to trust God and believe God for breakthrough in your life. Breakthrough in your family. Breakthrough in your home. Breakthrough in your marriage. Breakthrough in your future. Come on, somebody. Breakthrough. Persistent prayer requires persistent faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, right? What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Although they're not seen, you believe that although you don't see it, it will come to pass because you're hoping for that future. But check this out. Number three is simply this. Persistent prayer with persistent faith will always lead to a powerful response from God. But the question Jesus presents to us, well, will they find faith on earth? Will you? Will he find faith? Jesus is connecting persistency with faith. Because it takes faith to persist, doesn't it? It takes faith to believe. It takes faith to trust. It takes faith, deep seat of faith, to believe that although you don't see God moving, it takes faith to believe that he's moving behind the scenes. I love that song we used to sing, Waymaker. I forget the lyrics, but it says, although I don't see it, he's moving, right? And I don't see it, he's working. That's how it works. Just because you don't see things in the natural doesn't mean that God is not working behind the scenes. Does it not mean that God is not orchestrating your miracle behind the scenes? It does not mean that God is not moving. He just wants you to persist in faith and believe. I got more for you. Hang on. I knew this was going to be a long one for you today. Hang in there. Are you still with me? You still with me? So we see this kind of faith in a man called Elijah. I love Elijah. Elijah, mighty man of God. Woo! The Bible says, we're going to look at 1 Kings 18, but James, the New Testament, talks to us about Elijah. It says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Last week, Joshua, a human being, prayed for the sun to stand still. And it stood still. Now my man's praying that it won't rain for 3.5 years. And God answered him. Why? Let's go a little backstory of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet to Israel. Israel was caught up in Baal worship. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping another God. I love the song Yahweh we were singing today. You will have no other God before me. And that's still true. It was true then. It's still true today. That's what it's all about. And God called Elijah to prophesy and to preach to Israel and to come against the prophets of Baal and to tell them that there is only one true God. So in order... In God's way of pronouncing judgment on Israel, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. That was judgment on Israel. But then we read in verse 18, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced the crops. It sounds so simple, but that's not what actually happened. Elijah approaches King Ahab. King Ahab goes, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I came to kill the prophets of Baal." He says, "Assemble them. We're going to Mount Carmel. Assemble them. And on this mountain, we're going to set up two sacrifices. You're going to set up a sacrifice to Baal. I'm going to set up a sacrifice to the one true God, Yahweh. Right? The one true God. So the prophets of Baal, around 400 of them, gathered around the top of their mountain. And they set up a sacrifice. And this is what Elijah said. Whoever's God responds by fire is the one true God. So they're the prophets of Baal. They set up their sacrifice and they started calling for fire from heaven. You know what happens. You may not have read the story, but you know what happens when you call on a false god. Nada. Nothing. And I love it because Elijah's sitting there just laughing. He's laughing. He's mocking them. I just love this. He says in verse 18, chapter 18, which we're going to dive into in just a minute, he says, shout louder. Surely he's a god. He's talking about the prophets of Baal. He says this, perhaps he's in deep thought. Maybe he's busy. Or maybe he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. And then they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed. And there's Elijah just laughing. So he said, all right, enough is enough. Do me a favor. Before I call out to God, find water wherever you can and dump it onto the sacrifice, because this is going to be good. I'm going to put on a show. Then they did, and then he said, do it again. They did it in a third time. They poured so much water that it flowed into the ditch around the sacrifice. Then what did Elijah do? He prayed. And he said this. They came to him. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descending from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come. Your name of shall be Israel. He goes on. They put the four jars. He said, do it again. This is what happened. At that time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. He prayed. And he said, Lord of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God of Israel, that I'm your servant and I've done all these things in your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people may know that you are the Lord, you are God, and that you're turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. It's still a famine, a drought. At that moment, they took the 400 prophets of Baal and slaughtered them. Because there's only one true God. How many know that? There's only one true God. One true God. Then he goes to the king and says, Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. The problem was that it hasn't rained yet. It didn't rain yet. But Elijah heard the rain, not in the natural. He heard it in his spirit. I wonder how many people are not listening in the natural, but listening to what God is saying to them in the spirit. Because the key to pushing is to be able to hear the answer in the spirit. Because when you hear the answer in the spirit, you're able to operate in the natural and believe God for the supernatural. But you got to be able to hear. And I'm telling you, church, what I hear for this church in the spirit is the sound of heavy rain. No, not physical rain. What I hear in my spirit is that God will soon pour out his spirit upon all people. What I hear in my spirit is that revival is coming to the church. What I hear in my spirit is that God is transforming lives, and God will continue to transform lives in ways that we couldn't even imagine. What I hear in my spirit is far different than what I see in the flesh. So we heard the sound of mighty rain. He said, go eat, because rain's coming. It hadn't come yet. So check it out. Y'all with me? So we went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground. and put his face between his knees. Now, come on, somebody. That's how you push in prayer. That's the posture of prayer. That's the posture of you ain't playing in prayer. That's the posture of I ain't got time for this prayer. That's the posture you put yourself in when everything else around you is falling apart. When your marriage is crumbling, when your kids are acting wild, when things all around you are falling apart, you get on your knees and you put your head between your legs and you get ready to do some warfare type push and prayer. Isn't that the position? The position in which you see God and pray for breakthrough. So he said to his servant, so there he is. He said, go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up to look and says, there's nothing there. Nothing. In one prayer, God responds by fire. Now, this is a different story. God didn't answer him on the first time. So he gets his face between the ground, by the knees. He says, God, send the rain. God, you already spoke to my heart. I hear it in my spirit. Send the rain. Go check. Is it raining? Second time, no rain. God, your word says, you have spoken to me. God, I hear it in my spirit. Although I don't see it in the natural, I am going to pray until something happens. Is it raining yet? Go check. Number three, there's nothing. Dear God, I come before you again. I am going to persist in faith. I am going to persist in prayer. I am not going to give up. I am not going to move from this ground until I see something happen. God, grant me mercy. Grant me justice. Check to see if the rain, is it raining? Not yet. And this is where some of you quit. That's the point where some of you give up. And y'all didn't realize you're only on prayer four. And some of you are about to give up on prayer five. And some of you are right there. You're in prayer six. And you're about to throw in the towel. But let me tell you something. When you persist in prayer, and when you have persistent faith, there's always a powerful response. I call this the seventh prayer. That's the prayer of breakthrough. That's the prayer when God steps in. That's the prayer. That's the point in the prayer meeting in which God shows up. We don't know where we're at in that process, but this I know. God is doing something in me that's far greater than what he wants to do for me. And God is cultivating a heart of persistent faith in me. And on the seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Not even rain. It's a cloud. Elijah said, it is done. Go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Come on up. Right? Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I'm over time. I don't care this time. I don't care. I'm over time. I don't care. Because I got one more story for you. So sometimes you got to pray until something happens. You got to pray. Can't give up until you see the rain. I hear the sound of heavy rain. Do you? I hear it in my spirit. I hear it. It's another person, real quick, who's Hannah. This is Hannah. Hannah believed God for a son. She was barren. And she anguished in prayer. Oops. She anguished in prayer, in her deep anguish. What did Hannah do? She prayed to weeping bitterly. Come on, church. She anguished in prayer. She wept bitterly. I wonder, when was the last time you wept bitterly over your situation? When was the last time you wept bitterly over your children? When was the last time you wept bitterly? You were in anguish and said, God, God, grab a hold of my son. God, grab a hold of my daughter. Grab a hold of my boss. There's Hannah. Eli comes to the scene, and Eli was so non-spiritual. He was the priest. He was in the flesh. He looked at her and said, this woman is drunk. People will say what they want to say. Usually the fleshly people don't understand what God is doing in your life in the spirit. The people of the natural will always tell you, oh, give up on God, or why keep praying, or what are you doing, or go to this, go to that. But Hannah believed God. And verse 11, we read that she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me. Just remember me. Don't forget me. Don't forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Do you know who the son she was praying for? The priest, the prophet Samuel. She was giving birth, not just in the natural, but she was giving birth in the spiritual. Pray. She gave birth to this child in the spiritual before she gave birth to him in the natural. And that's how it works, church. You got to give birth in the spirit before you give birth in the natural. Before you see what God does, you have to give birth to it in the spiritual. Check it out. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked him for. And I just want to leave you with this, because some of you are praying for stuff in your life and things you're praying, you haven't seen an answer. And sometimes the pushing you do, the praying until something happens, sometimes the something that happens is peace. Until I have peace. I'm praying until I receive a breakthrough. Sometimes the something that happens is peace. We see this in Philippians. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Can we all stand together? I want us to read this together. Can we all stand as we close? Let's read it together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes the something that happens is peace. Peace that God's got it. Peace that God's in control. Peace that an answer's coming. Peace that a breakthrough's coming. She didn't have her child, but she had peace because she prayed until she received peace. And maybe that's where you're at today, is to push until you receive peace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for your love and your presence in this room today. Lord, put in us the passion to pray until we experience breakthrough. Lord, thank you for this amazing morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We need you to teach us. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you have not yet received Jesus Christ, placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your personal Savior, and you want to today, lift up your hand. Say, that's me. I want to place my faith in Jesus Christ. Anybody in this room, anybody watching online, joining us online? No. I pray that you do, that you know Christ. And if you have yet to make that decision, that you make that decision and say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Lord, thank you for this time together. We love you. We thank you for an amazing morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen and amen.